This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Today is called Welcome Home Sunday. It's kind of a ritual that we have developed in the church. You know, mid-late August, we invite everybody to come back. Come back from their summer travels if you're able to do so. If you're in the education business or a student, you've been gathering all of your things together, or you're back in school, or you're about to be back in school. And ministries that may have taken a break for the summer are all now back in full speed. We had a great ministry fair in Sumner's Hall just before this liturgy. I think many of you were there. It is a beautiful, exciting time. And so we say, welcome home. We're happy. We process down the aisle. We open the Bible. We're ready to hear some affirming words from Jesus. And Jesus clears his throat and says, do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you. Rather, division. From henceforth, in one house there will be five divided, two against three and three against two. They'll be divided, father against son and son against father and mother against daughter and daughter against mother. On it goes. Welcome home. This is not the Jesus we are accustomed to. Or is it? It is the current thing in the Episcopal Church, and I'm really happy it's the current thing to talk about Jesus as the Savior of love, who lives his life in the world as love and invites us as Christians to step out into the world in love. But I think it makes us think that sometimes that means it's all happy and it's all sweet and it's all nice. That's not the Jesus we have today. But it has always been a myth that Jesus was meek and mild, regardless of some of your favorite stained glass windows. That is not actually a biblical notion at all. Oh, it starts well enough. First chapter of Luke, when Zechariah announces that Jesus is coming, the Messiah is coming to be the Prince of Peace, will bring peace into the world, and offers the peace of God, as we say at the dismissal at the end of the liturgy, the peace of God that passes all understanding, to keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of the Lord. But it is a different kind of peace indeed than perhaps we think. And then if we read from Luke, the beginning of Luke, to now in the 12th chapter, we see this increasing frustration on Jesus' part. Jesus is pronouncing the kingdom of God. Jesus is pronouncing a gospel that is for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is pronouncing a gospel that resists oppression and injustice. And he begins, in the beginning, very slowly, to chip away at the cultural systems that are in place that ensure that power is accommodated into one group and the rest are left out. And the rest are on the edges, marginalized, and oppressed. He does it over and over. He starts with the family, then he moves to the synagogue, then he moves to the culture at large. And of course, everywhere he goes, people go, oh, the healing's nice, but wait, what? Wait, no, you're talking about my family now, and so we resist. Oh, the healing is nice, but wait, no, you're talking about my synagogue. I will resist. Wait, you're talking about my culture. I will resist. So by the time we get to the 12th chapter, we've had 6 chapters of Jesus getting more and more frustrated. And now, he's in shrill voice. I think he is shouting. He is so angry. He is so frustrated. He is so frustrated that he says, what I bring to you is not the peace that you think I am bringing. It is a peace that has no truck with injustice. The kingdom of God makes no peace with injustice. And then he takes his irritation to a new level. He says, how is it that you don't already know this? Why is this news to you? He said, you wake up in the morning, you look, you see clouds building in the east, you know it's going to rain. You see a hot wind from the south, you know it's going to be a scorcher. You can do that, but you can't tell me about God's priorities. He is talking to people who have been immersed, from the day they were born with the Torah. He is talking to people who have been immersed from the day they were born with the teachings of the prophets. Every time they came together, they were memorizing Scripture. They were memorizing things that talked to them about the nature of God and what God is like and what God cares about. They knew the Levitical law. They knew the demands. They knew the expectations. They knew that in every single page of the prophets, there is a demand for two things. There is a demand for righteousness, and there is a demand for justice for the poor. Over and over and over. Overtly political, friends. No way to dodge it. Justice for the poor and righteousness to God. Over and over and over. So by the time when he's getting resistance, he's just had enough. He's like, how is this news to you? How are you surprised by this? It has always been the nature of God. And so here we sit, many, many years later, gathered together in church, and we hear these words, and we're as put off maybe as they are. We're put off by Jesus' anger. It makes us uncomfortable. It makes us anxious. And then perhaps we raise an eyebrow as if we're a little bit surprised that the gospel actually has something to say about what's going on in the world outside this building. Don't know why we're surprised from the beginning of the gospel according to Luke to now. I mean, think about one of the prayers that we know the best. I invite you to do this. Grab the Book of Common Prayer. It's in the pew in front of you. Turn to page 91. Page 91, Book of Common Prayer. This is the heart of morning prayer. So this is designed for individuals and groups of people to say their prayers every single day. So, embedded in the daily prayer of Christians in the Episcopal tradition is Canticle 15. It's the Magnificat. You remember that? The sweet prayer from the sweet little Virgin Mary, you know, all coated in cerulean blue, and she's just quoting this beautiful poetry, this young maiden. She says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The mighty has done good things for me, and holy is his name." Oh, Mary, that's so sweet. That's the kind of God we love, the kind that comes to our rescue and honors us, puts us in positions of power and privilege. Mary clears her throat. "Excuse me, I'm not finished." And she continues. "He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and he has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy." So much for sweet little Mary. And so much for Jesus, meek and mild. How is it that we can tell when it's going to rain and when it's going to be a scorcher, and yet we don't think God has an opinion about what's happening on our border? The kingdom of God makes no peace with injustice. So maybe this is actually a good welcome home passage. Maybe the host of the house that we stepped away from for a couple of weeks is the same host he's always been. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, a little annoyed and impatient with us. Frustrated. "How is it that you think this is new information? You feed on my body and my blood every single week. The sacrifice for sin, the sacrifice for injustice, not the peace offering to sin, nor the peace offering to justice. For the kingdom of God makes no peace with injustice." So, welcome home. It is time for us to get out in the world and act like Christians who have actually read this book who have actually listened to the words of Mary, and listened to the words of Jesus, and do the work of justice. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.